Welcome back. This week's interview, we're talking with George Sein, Vice President of Golf Ball Marketing and Strategic Planning with Titleist, as well as Bill Morgan, Senior Vice President of Golf Ball Research and Development. Hello, guys.
Hi. How are you, Eric? It's great to be with you again.
Good to be with you guys, too. You guys, we're here to talk about the new Pro V1 and the Pro V1X that were just introduced. Should be hitting store shelves right about now, right, guys?
Yes, we started shipping the first week of February, and we're very excited.
One of the things, the new ball touts both models a little bit more distance. You know, it's my understanding that virtually every ball shipped within the past 6 or 7 years, at least, kind of bumps up against the USGA's overall distance standard. So how does more distance translate? You know, there's obviously a difference between how the USGA measures the overall distance standard and real-world performance that actual golfers see.
Well, Eric, fundamentally, the USGA has a rather complex laboratory methodology for assessing what they call the overall distance of a golf ball. It involves a number of steps, including hitting golf balls with a robot indoors when the golf club is swung at about 120 miles an hour. Then there's an aerodynamic portion of the test, wherein the ball's lift and drag coefficients are calculated, and then ultimately there's an equation or series of equations that are used to predict the flight of the ball and its ultimate distance. It's a great methodology. We use it for a number of things in R&D, but it's used to predict distances for extremely powerful hitters. It is a fact that a number of golf balls are close to that limit, and I'm proud to say that our own Pro V1X is among the longest balls and closest to the limit. But there is some space between the limit and where these balls are. And importantly, for golfers playing golf on golf courses, and particularly golfers whose club head speed is less than 120 miles an hour, there's considerably more opportunity for distance increase through golf ball design. And the changes we've made to both Pro V1 and Pro V1X for 2009 do add additional distance for players with more ordinary swing speeds.
Eric, I would just add to that, you know, certainly as it relates to golf ball performance, the distance attribute is an important one, but it's not the only one. And so therefore, you know, unless you're Jamie Sadlowski or Dan Beaver or Jason Zuback, who are striving every day to hit it as long as humanly possible, what we're trying to put more emphasis on as it relates to golf ball selection and golf ball fitting is relative to helping golfers shoot lower scores, not merely just hit longer drives.
With that, increased durability is a pretty big win. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Maybe if we start by referring to some consumer research work we did last year, and probably it's better for George to talk.
Yeah, Eric, I think as we develop new products, first and foremost, if you look at our almost 75-year blueprint of product development, it's never been one about merely introducing a product to market for the sake of it being new. We will only bring a new product to market if we can make it better than its predecessor product, and or afford the golfer a attribute, a benefit that they're not currently enjoying. You know, as we were commencing the development process of the next generation Pro V1 as many as 24 months ago, we assessed first and foremost what were those performance attributes that the target audience were seeking, whether they be tour players, club professionals, accomplished amateurs, or average golfers. How could we make Pro V1 and Pro V1X better? You know, after consulting with each of those constituents and an additional 5,000 tour-played golf ball consumers online, we found that distance and cover durability were imperative improvements to how we could make the existing benchmark products better. That wasn't a function of just Bill and I or the Acushnet team determining what or how we could make them better. This was direct feedback from the voice of the player who said, here's where I'd like you to make it better. So that's where durability really became uppercase to the improvements to the 2009 Pro V1 and Pro V1X. Bill and his team identified the solution to the need and the opportunity.
And so basically with that input from the guys who play the product, we took a look at our urethane formulating capability relative to the outer cover of the ball and came up with a formulation that would provide an increased resistance to abrasion on the surface of the ball. We made the urethane outer tougher. As a result, the ball is more durable. It doesn't scrape as much as it did. It was a great ball before, but, you know, in response to what players asked us for, we've made a very tough ball even tougher. The response has been excellent so far. We didn't adversely affect the performance of the ball at all. In fact, the changes we made to the cover, we tested for feel response or playability response with the game's best players, and there was really no change at all there. It still feels great, still plays well, but it is a tougher serve.
Okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, the core got a little bit bigger in at least one of the models?
In the 2009 Pro V1, we changed the diameter of the core of the ball from 1.53 inches to 1.55 inches. That's not the only change we made to the core.
Right.
Of the ball. It is a bigger core, but we also reformulated the core to a higher compression specification. And those two changes together are giving us more speed off of the club face, and that's part of what's driving greater distance on the new 2009 Pro V1.
Okay, and you talked about swing speeds before, but every time someone talks about a ball, and specifically about the Pro V1X, the misconceptions about the minimum swing speed you need to get good performance out of a Pro V1X came from back when people made silly and then proven untrue comments about, you know, this mystery, if you can compress the core, you get this boost. You know, the USGA helped us prove that a couple years ago. So I think the misconceptions stem back to that. So, but the question remains, what swing speed do you need to get performance out of a Pro V1X or a Pro V1?
Yeah. Eric, I can give you a silly answer, or we can have a long technical answer. I'm going to try the silly one first. I've tried putting both balls, and it seems like my putter swing speed's enough to get the ball to go in the hole. It's really, that's a myth that we've had a lot of trouble shaking loose. And it's unfortunate because some of the messages we've provided on the benefits of the Pro V1X almost seem to support the myth. So I'm gonna have to spend a few minutes to try to explain it. A golf ball leaves the club face with the launch conditions of speed, spin, and launching. And there are construction factors which contribute to what those launch conditions are. The driver plays a role as well. Driver design has changed substantially in the last 10 years, and it's gone in the direction of larger heads with thinner faces that provide a higher coefficient of restitution. They're just basically better trampolines. The golf ball that works the best off of these big, thin-faced drivers is the harder golf ball. A higher compression golf ball comes off of those club faces faster than a lower compression golf ball does. So Pro V1X has a higher compression than Pro V1. It comes off that club face with more speed, and that's gonna drive more distance. Pro V1X is also a lower spinning golf ball fundamentally, so that's gonna add some distance as well. As we've told the message about Pro V1 and Pro V1X over the years, and as we're telling it again in 2009, we tell people that for most golfers, Pro V1X is longer than Pro V1. And that comes from that higher speed and lower spin off of the driver. But we add on to that saying that this is particularly true if you are a very high speed player. Why so? Because high speed players deflect the club face more at impact and get more spring-like effect, and with the harder golf ball get more ball speed than they do with a softer golf ball. We further say that it's particularly true for high-speed players who also have high spin, because the low spin characteristics of the Pro V1X will help a higher spin player. So we've said, frankly, for years, and continue to say now, that Pro V1X works very well for high-speed, high-spin players, and it's true. Now, people then flip-flop that to say, well, that means it doesn't work for lower swing speed players or people with low spin, and that's simply not true. And I'll give you two reasons why. Number one, as I described the driver impact with regard to the face deflecting and the compression of the ball, if you make the ball softer, it's going to come off the club face slower for everybody, high-speed players as well as low-speed players, and that's bad for distance, okay? But secondly, and more importantly, is that every golfer has in their golf bag golf clubs from driver all the way down to wedge. The fastest club he swings is his driver. He swings each club down through the set at slower speeds, some of that from him swinging slower, some of it from the length of the shaft, and basically, club head speed decreases through the set. If, in fact, Pro V1X didn't work as driver swing speed went down, well, then at some point in the set of clubs, it wouldn't work, would it? For even a big hitter like Bubba Watson or whomever, maybe it works for the driver and doesn't work for his 5-iron. Well, that wouldn't be a very good golf ball, would it? Every week, highly skilled, high swing speed players play golf with Pro V1X in tournament venues on all the tours, and they have tremendous success with Pro V1X, with their driver, with their 5-iron, with their 8-iron, with their wedge, with whatever club, because it really doesn't matter what your swing speed is, the ball still works. Okay, and we also know that, recreational golfers, whose driver swing speed is lower, the ball still works. My ball speed is south of 140. I'm not a big hitter. I'm more what you'd call an average golfer with consideration for ball speed off the driver. But I have high spin. I'm a tall guy. I'm a little too steep coming into the ball, and I put too much spin on it. I play Pro V1X. I play Pro V1X because it lowers my driver's spin and helps me hit straighter and longer golf shots. And then I still have that soft cover for playability into the green. I'm the guy that works on the design of these products. I see all the data. I'm a lower swing speed guy. I play Pro V1X because I know it works. That myth about, you know, what swing speed does it stop working, that's just crazy talk.
All right.
Eric, to follow up on that, and that's why we feel that golf ball fitting is very much a personalized process and not one that should be employed and determined based on a launch monitor and or, you know, one club in your bag, and we'll spend a little bit more time on that later. But I think the Pro V1 versus Pro V1X comparison for most golfers is a worthy one because it's going to be dependent on what that shot or those shots are during the course of the round that are going to enable that golfer to shoot a lower score. And they may be a high ball speed, low spin player, or they may be a high ball speed, high spin player, or vice versa. And really, only until you individualize that fit will you know which is best for your game.
You guys tend to advise people when they're looking to choose a ball that best fits them to work from the green backwards, mostly because you spend most of your shots closer to the greens, putting, short game, approach shots, chip shots, pitch shots, that kind of thing has a more relevant effect on scoring than necessarily 4 or 5 yards difference off the driver. So is that pretty much how you continue to recommend people fit themselves, start from the green and work backwards?
Yeah, even more than that, Eric, I think we're trying to refine that a little bit in our message. Beyond just saying from the green backwards, what we're currently encouraging players to do is to identify the shots in their game which are most likely to change their score. You know, we've got a chart we've shown in a number of venues that show for a guy who shoots par, he really only uses his driver 14 times or less during the course of the round, but probably hits 22 shots towards the green. And as your score goes up, the number of drives you make doesn't really go up that much, but the number of shots you attempt to hit to the green increases dramatically. I mean, just logically, that means that play into the green is more important than play from the tee. And you want to think about that as you select your golf ball. But we know from practice that if we can find golf shots, the change in equipment and make a meaningful change in the score for a player, that's really the best form of fitting. You know, when we fit tour players, it's an easy process. We say, hey, pro, we've got a new ball. Let's go out and see how it compares with the one you've got. And most of the tour players just say, let's go. And they grab the two balls, and they don't go to the tee. They don't go to the putting green. They go to specific types of shots that those players know from experience are the ones that most practically influence their score. And then they try the two balls in that specific shot scenario. And there might be one or two or three different shots that a player knows come up often enough that he has to have the right ball in those scenarios. The biggest difference between tour players and regular guys is that tour players already know what those shots are. With regular guys, for the most part, they haven't thought that way or have been told to think some other way. For example, how far he hit it off the tee or whatever. And if you could take a regular golfer and have them thinking in those terms and looking at the shots in the course of the round where they have an opportunity to improve their score, and then do ball testing in that shot scenario, you have a better chance to improve their score. And so for us, ball fitting is identifying those shots where you can change someone's score and testing products in that scenario. It's almost always a shot into the green. Maybe different shots for different people, but it is consistent with the earlier message from the green to the tee. It's just now a more targeted approach. What shots affect your score the most?
Okay. Eric, one of our key initiatives has been for many years, and that is to emphasize the importance of proper golf ball selection. We feel that if we're approaching the goal line as it relates to golf ball technology and the advancements that we can make with golf ball technology, we don't feel that we've even reached midfield as it relates to optimizing performance for the majority of golfers. And right. That's why we feel that, you know, if you consider the game of golf, the golf ball is the only piece of equipment, with no disrespect to our brethren at FootJoy on the glove and the shoe, that you use for every shot during the round. And so therefore, the emphasis and the priority should be placed on selecting the best golf ball for your game. And it should be based on those shots that you hit most frequently during the round. And, you know, this isn't just our philosophy, you know, sitting in a room and saying, well, this is the way we think golf ball fitting makes the most sense. This is, again, a function of reaching out to 5,000 golfers and asking them specifically if their game would be more benefited by 5 yards longer off the tee or 5 yards closer to the pin, and would your game more benefit from hitting it longer or scoring lower? Based on those pretty simplistic questions, we had over 70% of the 5,000 golfers that we consulted say that absolutely short game performance is the primary area of my game that would help me shoot a lower score, and that is why it is such a priority for me.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just going to point out that that's a different 5,000 golfers than the first 5,000 we were talking about. That's a study we did the year before last, I think, where just last year we got the one that told us about durability. But that message rings clear every time we ask. It's not surprising. I mean, every golfer who thinks about it pretty much comes to the conclusion that they're better off hitting it close than hitting it far. I mean, golf is, I mean, certainly there's some reward for distance, but at the end of the day, you're better off hitting the ball close to the pin. You're better off with a completely different approach to ball selection than simply which one goes the farthest. I can give everybody a golf ball that goes farther. That's easy. It'll go farther with the driver, farther with the 5-iron, and farther with the wedge. But I'm not sure farther with the wedge is what you're looking for. What you're looking for is closer with everything except the driver.
One of our experiences with Pro V1 and Pro V1X has been for that golfer that perhaps is distance and accuracy challenged, we can really assist that golfer by helping them to hit it straighter. And as a result of hitting it straighter, they'll hit it longer. But more importantly, a lot of these players are not hitting the green in regulation. So that second shot is not on the green, but it is surrounding the green. And therefore, a golf ball that has that high performance, or what we deem to be more scoring performance, into and around the green is enabling them to hit that third shot closer to the target, which is going to be basically placing them in a better position to make par. You know, that's why we feel golf ball fitting is so vital to the overall process, and fitting your game based on your strengths and weaknesses is the best approach to that fitting process.
A lot of amateurs seem to alternate between the Pro V1 and the Pro V1X. Do you know of any pros that do this, and are amateurs likely wasting their shots when doing so? Would we be better off testing each, choosing one, and then sticking with it?
Well, that would certainly be our experience. You know, I can't cite an individual tour player, club professional, or even amateur players that I know that switch in and out of Pro V1 or Pro V1X.
Yeah, some will seem to do it when it's wet or something. You know, they'll say, I don't need quite as much spin, so they'll move to Pro V1X or something.
Some more based on course conditions.
A lot of people do stuff for reasons we'll never understand.
I think that about sums that one up, huh?
But to the question, typically what we found, and even as we're making the departure from the 07 vintage to the 09 vintage, you know, what we're experiencing on tour and in the marketplace is that typically if you're a Pro V1 player, you remain a Pro V1 player. And the same with Pro V1X. And again, we think the best evaluation and determination of that is to take both products out, preferably at your home course, or certainly at a course that you're familiar with the conditions and you're familiar with the distances and you're familiar with what to expect from your individual game, and conduct that evaluation in that real golf course environment, because that will help you to reach the best decision relative to which of those two products are going to be most optimum for your game.
Some people seem to believe that the release of these new balls was necessitated by the ongoing lawsuit with Callaway. Can you set the record straight?
Certainly. If you look at our 75-year blueprint of product development. And more recently, if you look at the life cycles of our product line, we feel that a 2-year product life cycle is most ideal and optimum. One, from a development standpoint, you know, that 2-year period enables us to validate the product that we have created. We also feel that in the marketplace, to change product every 6 months, 9 months, 12 months is disruptive to our customers. It's certainly disruptive to our consumers. So we have been committed to a 2-year product life cycle really for the significant recent past and certainly for the foreseeable future. And I think the best example of that is, you know, we introduced Pro V1 in 2001, again in 2003, 2005, 2007, and now 2009. So the products that we're bringing to market in the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X are consistent with our product lifecycle. They're a result of us identifying, developing, and achieving better performance than their predecessors, and that was the driving force behind why the new 2009 Pro V1 and Pro V1X products are being introduced this month in February.
Yeah, I'm going to accentuate that for you too, Eric, and let you know that we've already begun work on the next generation models. We're evaluating some concepts for further improvements, and we've even penciled in an introduction date for those.
2011?
Very good.
The groove rule goes into effect for professionals next year, and it's been said that many pros are going to switch to a spinnier golf ball as a way to generate short shot spin. Might we see a shift towards more spin in the Pro V1 line?
That's an interesting question. You know, we've taken a look at the research that the USGA and RNA have provided relative to their analysis of the effect of grooves on different types of shots, as well as conducted some research of our own. And there's a lot of difference in the results depending upon who the player is, what club we're talking about, and more particularly, where the golf ball is when you hit it. In some of the more extreme examples, you see very little difference in spin produced, maybe from a nice dry lie in the fairway, to scenarios in which there might be as much as a 1,000 or 2,000 RPM reduction in spin on shots from highly lofted clubs taken in wet, rough conditions. And I think that's got people's attention, is that when, you know, you change the groove specifications for the clubs and you're out in the rough and it's wet and you want to hit a spinny shot into the green, you just won't be able to do it anymore. And maybe I'll just play a ball with more spin. There's just one problem with that, and that's that the golf ball doesn't know where it is. The golf ball doesn't know if it's in the fairway or in the rough. It doesn't know if it's on the fairway or on the tee. And if we add spin to golf balls to make up for spin loss in shots from wet rough, well, then we add spin to the golf ball for shots from the dry fairway and shots from the tee. My entire career designing golf balls, and I've been making golf balls since 1982. My entire career, I have been lowering the spin of golf balls. Tour players to this day are continuing to ask for ball options with less spin. More golfers in the world today get their shots with more spin than they need than with too little spin. If we were to change golf balls to add spin so that a highly skilled player with a highly lofted club playing from wet, rough conditions didn't lose so much spin when the grooves changed, I think there would be far more scenarios in which we were doing golfers a disservice. So at this time, we are not considering a wholesale change of golf ball design based on a groove regulation change because it doesn't make any sense. But, I mean, we're open-minded. If after the groove regulation filters through the tour and there's considerable commentary that we need to do this or that and we test it and evaluate it and it looks like it makes some sense, some amount of it, well, you know, it might happen. But right now, I don't think we need to. The 2009 Pro V1 on shots into the green spins a little bit more than the 2007 Pro V1 did. That's a little bit of a spin increase right there. That may be all we ever need to do. We might be done already.
You guys have both been with Titleist in the ball division for a long time or making golf balls for a long time, as you just said. I suspect we know the answer to this, but are you willing to call these two balls the best golf balls ever made with technology available at the time of their introduction?
I'd really be bragging if I said yes to that. You know, I wasn't making golf balls in 1932 when they first started coming out with spines or whatever. You know, the best technology available at the time, you know, that first round ball was pretty terrific. The first liquid center was pretty great. The gutting was fantastic. You know, there a lot of great technological breakthroughs in golf balls. Hey, Sirlin was super when it first came out. So when we put the urethane cover on the wound ball and came out with the Titleist Professional, that was huge in its day. These two versus the generation before them are solid improvements, and we think that golfers who put them in play are going to see better distance, better playability to the green, and importantly, greater durability. So, you know, that smooth progression of technological improvement is continuing. We thought we made the best balls before. We think we're making them better now.
As we introduce new products, we don't do so just for the sake of them being new. And because we have such an overwhelming amount of intelligence and feedback from the Tour Play golf ball consumer who identified the areas of improvement for these products, we're confident that, you know, from their perspective and for their games, you know, these are going to be our best efforts to date. And we're excited to, you know, have the golfers experience that firsthand. And certainly at the end of the day, they'll determine whether these are our best products to date, as well as guide us for future new products that ultimately will be their replacements. You know, we're very excited about what we've accomplished with these new products, but at the same time, we know that there's still opportunities to help golfers shoot lower scores, help golfers enjoy the game more, because as we know, the more they enjoy the game, the more they play the game, and at the end of the day, we all benefit from that. We look forward to their continued involvement in the process, whether that be walking the fairways and providing us feedback or participating in our surveys, because there's nobody more passionate and or willing to share their opinion than the avid core golfer. So we're fortunate to have them as our base.
Okay, we'd like to thank George Syme, Vice President of Golf Ball Marketing and Strategic Planning, and Bill Morgan, Senior Vice President, Golf Ball Research and Development, both of Titleist, of course, for joining us this week to talk about the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, and certainly appreciate you including me.
Now please go play golf.